Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. Today we have a big news item.
Yeah, I guess breaking news. The first thing that I heard was Yale Law School abandons U.S. news rankings, citing flawed methodology. That was in the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Haley. Haley heard about it on Instagram, I guess, and forwarded it to us. But we have also an article from the New York Times, Ben, that you read and took a bunch of notes on about Yale backing out from U.S. news rankings. So they're just going to not, I guess, fill out the survey, essentially. Is that what that means?
I think so. Yep.
Okay. So then if they don't fill out the survey, if they don't participate, then U.S. news can't rank them. So Yale Law, which has been number one since forever, is now, I guess, going to be unranked. We'll have to see what happens, because since then we have Harvard also has said that they're going to do the same thing.
Yep.
And Eric just sent in a Reddit thread that's claiming that Berkeley is also out.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know that they can't rank them, right? A lot of the data that they use is publicly disclosed in 509 reports and elsewhere. There's the common data set that all universities have to supply information to. So if I were U.S. News rankings and these schools said, hey, sorry, we're out, we're done, I'd be like, cool, have a good day. It's going to be harder for me to get some of the information that I want to rank you, but I'm still going to do that as long as there are incentives to do so. And I think there are strong incentives for anyone to rank these schools. So
what did Yale say when they made their decision? I mean, what's their evidence for their conclusion to not participate in the rankings? Which, by the way, I think Ben and I probably, we've said for a long time that the rankings are bullshit anyway. I mean, it's like a popularity contest in part anyway, and people pay way too much attention to rankings, especially on small slices. So we're not like mad at all about somebody getting, just saying U.S. news, hey, for, you know, we're out, thanks. But what was Yale's case?
Yeah, well, let me actually read Yale's response. This is from the New York Times article. When Yale was asked why, and specifically Yale's dean, Ms. Gerken, was asked why Yale is even worried about these rankings, given that they're number one, she said, it's not about Yale Law School. It's about legal education and the profession. It's a moment to step back and think about what we are doing. She continues, U.S. news rankings are a for-profit and commercial enterprise that is profoundly flawed. She said that the methodology does not give enough weight to programs like Yale's that support public interest careers, champion need-based aid, and welcome working class students into the profession, and as a result, skews the rankings of law schools that emphasize that worked. Now, that's an interesting claim, since they're number one. Maybe they feel like their programs are being cramped, right? They would do them more, but for U.S. news rankings, they hold back.
Yeah. I mean, if they feel that they have been forced to make the decision, you know, the same admissions decisions that they're complaining about, because I guess go on into there's more to her case, right? Or at least the Harvard Law Dean makes a different case.
The Harvard Law Dean makes a different case. The Yale Dean finishes by saying that 20% of the law school's overall ranking comes from grades and test scores. We've talked about that a lot. And she continues, this heavily weighted metric imposes tremendous pressure on schools to overlook promising students, especially those who cannot afford expensive test preparation courses. It also pushes schools to use financial aid to recruit high scoring students. That money, she said, could be diverted to scholarships for low income students.
That's the game that we've been complaining about for forever, right? I mean, that's Absolutely. The game that we encourage our students and listeners to take advantage of and get themselves a scholarship to law school. But this seems to me, you know, if other schools followed suit, it could be, I think, exactly the thing that needs to happen in this field.
Yeah, I was thinking about that on the way here. It's one of those situations, though, right, where everyone needs, or at least a lot of people need to pull out of the system. Otherwise, the ones that remain will take advantage of the vacuum, maybe.
Maybe, but if Harvard and if Yale, let's say Yale, Harvard just become not ranked, or Yale and Harvard fall in the rankings as a result of not responding to their survey.
Sure.
I just got to think that it's going to be the credibility of the rankings that are going to suffer more than Harvard and Yale. And if this is true, that Berkeley has now jumped on board, now it can be like, and we're totally speculating now, but I wouldn't be surprised by this like race to be among the, like, oh, well, we're just like Harvard and Yale, says yep. Berkeley. You
know? Yeah, yeah. We're like them. We're unrankable.
Right. And it seems to be this kind of thing where if we've said that, I think, for a long time, that this would need to start at the top. It can't start from the bottom. I mean, there are schools that don't participate, but those schools just get lumped in with like, oh, well, you're a shitty school. You're unranked. You're whatever. You know, people don't even think about you because you're not on the rankings. But that's not going to happen with Harvard and Yale.
Yeah.
And so if they, you know, if this turns out to be like a leadership moment for these schools where it does seem like it could change law school admissions pretty significantly.
Yeah.
And to the extent that you are going to be giving discounts, you can't keep playing this game of giving scholarships to make yourself go up in the rankings. Like, you just, if you keep doing that, then you are gonna be giving the money to the rich kids. I mean, you're gonna give money to the richer, whiter kids if that's your plan.
Well, it's not only what you are going to do, it is what is happening.
It's what you do now, in fact.
Yeah.
And it's gonna continue happening. Unless you follow suit here and decide that you're just not gonna give those kinds of scholarships in that way.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any more commentary on this?
Yeah, I do want to read the Harvard Law Dean's argument about the debt metric. I wasn't. Were you aware of the debt metric as being a part of U.S. News rankings?
Well, I was aware that it was part of the ranking, but it's such a small part of the ranking that I was sort of also just, well, but we can ignore that because it's trivial.
So what is the debt metric exactly?
Well, so again, on this Reddit post, it seems to be a copy paste of a statement for public release at Berkeley Law.
Okay.
But okay. And then it's a commentator, a commenter who responds in bullets. But one of the bullets is the indebtedness measure in total accounts for 5% of the ranking.
Okay. I mean, that's still a decent chunk. It's a factor.
A factor, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are, what's the point of it, though? It feels like kind of a distraction, really. Because what's the Harvard Dean's case?
So Mr. Manning, that's the Dean of Harvard, says the rankings methodology can create perverse incentives that influence schools' decisions in ways that undercut student choice and harm the interests of potential students. And
what?
Then the
what
example
are you talking
of?
Yeah. Right. Example, I'm out on that. What are you talking about? Okay, go.
So the debt metric adopted by U.S. News 2 years ago might appear to reflect lower debt at graduation because of generous financial aid.
It might.
So the debt metric looks at how much debt your students have when you graduate from law school.
Yep.
And if it's high, that's dinging you. And if it's low, then that's helping you.
High seems bad, right?
Yep. And it's like, okay, well, if it's low, maybe the school gave more financial aid. Ideally need-based aid, but it could be scholarships, of course, and almost certainly is. But he continues, but the metric could also mean that a law school admitted, quote, more students who have the resources to avoid borrowing. And to the extent that the debt metric creates an incentive for schools to admit better resourced students, in other words, rich kids who don't need to borrow, it risks harming those it is trying to help. So it's trying to reduce the number of students who graduate with debt, but it might end up encouraging Yeah, schools to pick again.
Well, if that's what you're doing. If you're playing the U.S. News rankings game in your admissions decisions, then yeah, you're going to end up trying to go potentially for rich kids. By the way, you're already going for rich kids because of all the other metrics that that the U.S. News rankings uses.
Well, so even though it's only 5%, you have to consider it's another push on the lever, right? You're looking at an applicant and you're like, okay, great score. Looks like they got assets. Okay.
It's not nothing. Yeah. I mean, I think the broader argument, though, instead of being so specific about that debt metric, is just, maybe they're just not willing to admit, you know, we want to stop making decisions based on what it's going to do to our ranking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by opting out, that's the clear signal that Yale and Harvard and apparently Berkeley. So far, this is Thursday, November 17th, by the way, that we're recording this. So there will be newer news and we'll report back to you if there is newer news. What's this down at the very bottom? What did Penn say?
Yeah, Penn said, it applauded Yale and Harvard for their leadership and said that it was evaluating this issue, but did not immediately offer to join in. Columbia and Chicago declined to comment. NYU said they were aware of the action by Harvard and Yale, but haven't made any determination on the matter yet. Sounds very lawyerly. So here's one takeaway from all of this, and that is, congratulations, Yale. Congratulations, Harvard. Thanks for showing your leadership, as Penn said. You're moving us in the right direction. You're moving away from this system that is creating these perverse incentives for admitting basically richer, whiter students who have more access. And maybe that's their motive. But could this just also be, like, I'm trying to think of less altruistic reasons for this.
There's lots of reasons.
They're losing money, right, in this no-win scholarship game. They just feel like they have to keep dishing out the cash to get these people.
I mean, Yale moved first. From Yale's perspective, you know, they tap out as number one ranked law school for the last 20 years in a row or whatever. And they just then kind of become like untouchable.
Yeah, they win. They quit while they're ahead, right? Because Harvard just dropped.
How can they win anymore? Like, being ranked one again next year doesn't help them.
Doesn't help them. Harvard just dropped, right? Harvard just dropped. And Yale mentioned, I don't think the ranking systems give enough weight to programs like Yale's. So is Yale worried about dropping to number two and therefore saying, hey, we're out? So if it drops, well, that's because we're out anyways. We quit before you even had a chance to hit us.
Yeah. It's a good way. I mean, I don't want to be devil's advocate on this one because I feel like it's pretty unequivocally good. You can have multiple motives for things, right? And so, sure, if some of them might have like a little other motives, that's okay. One of the motives here, I am willing to believe, is we don't like having to continue giving our scholarship money and our admissions seats to people to raise our U.S. news. Like, we're tired of declining all these people who are exactly 1 point below our LSAT median. And we're tired of admitting all these people who are exactly right on our LSAT median. And they don't want to make those decisions anymore. Now, of course, Yale and Harvard have the luxury of not quite making the decisions exactly that way. We'll see how many other schools follow, I guess.
So I agree that there are tons of problems, but I'm not going to say that it's unequivocally good because I think there are unintended consequences. And I don't think that I just don't trust these schools. I think that there's all sorts of motives and, you know.
I'm certainly not saying that I trust the schools, but I just think that law school rankings are pretty much inherently bad.
Well, they're also incentivizing schools to do certain things that could be beneficial. Like, think about it. The option to be regulated or unregulated. They're basically saying, hey, look, we don't want anyone looking over our shoulder. There can be a lot of good things that come from that, but there can also just be a lot of, well, and now it's easier for us to do whatever we want without people noticing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't have any faith in U.S. News as a fiduciary of anything. You know, I don't think that they're actually, I don't know. I think they're trying to sell rankings. I don't think that they're doing more than that. So,
well, I'm not saying that they're good either. I'm just saying we have a system in place. And when you change systems dramatically, you can have all the best intentions in the world, but then end up seeing the opposite outcome. And you see, oh shit. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. And that's true for even a lot of these things probably that were implemented, right? For good reasons at first, but then even with this debt metric, maybe people thought, oh, okay, well, this is a good way to keep to rein in schools, but then maybe it flipped around, maybe not. I have no idea. But things can just cut in random ways, in unpredictable ways.
All right. Are we done with our wild speculations about what this all means?
Not entirely. What does that mean for the LSAT? Do you think schools will continue to weigh it as importantly as they have in the past?
I definitely think so, yeah. I think that they know from experience that LSAT is a good proxy for a lot of things. For the kids who are naturally great at it, it indicates that they are pretty strong readers, pretty strong with logic, you know, patient enough to sit there and solve questions.
Yeah.
For the people who work their asses off and then kill the LSAT, and we've seen people improve by 20, 25, 30 points these days on the LSAT. And for those kids, the 175 that they eventually achieve indicates that they have an unbelievable work ethic, which the law schools highly prize. So I just think that over the years, you know, they choose how heavily they weight the LSAT, right? And they weight the LSAT very heavily. LSAT in U.S. News rankings is only, it's like 10%, something like that.
Yeah, but it's also like correlated with other things. So a high LSAT score could mean you're bumping up other things as well.
But that's why they like it so much, right? It's like, well, if you kill that test, then you're probably got a few other notches on your belt elsewhere.
Yes, but do they care about those things because of the rankings, or do they care about them inherently, right? And if they care about them because of the rankings, then and those go away.
My guess is 50-50. Right. I mean, I remember Dean Z talking about that, saying, well, it's two things. It's your aptitude to succeed in my law school. And it's also what you're going to do to my rankings. Those are two separate things. And who knows what the weighting actually is. But I would be really surprised if they don't use. I mean, what else are they going to use? We got undergraduate GPA. But then what are you going to do? You're going to do a holistic evaluation of 10,000 applicants for 500 spots?
Well, this is where I wonder if like things like ability to pay become much more significant. So you're applying and you have a different range of applicant, but one applicant is better able to pay and you don't care about LSAT and GPA as much anymore because rankings don't exist.
So you use the FAFSA exactly backward. No, I think you have to do your admission decision before you can do the FAFSA. Or at least I would.
Well, it's not like merit aid is going away. I'm just saying, you're a school. These are for profit. They're not for profit, but they need money. I don't know. I think the LSAT. Don't get me wrong. You know, I think the LSAT is a great tool for keeping people out of the profession that shouldn't get into it, and assessing those who want to join it, but. There is this growing demand for it to be taken away as well.
Could happen. Yeah. We clearly don't know what's going to happen. We are excited to find out. You can email email daily at lsatdemon.com. If you have more news about this stuff, we will be reporting back. We wanted to just get this episode out as quickly as possible with this special news and our wild speculations on it. There will also be more on the Thinking LSAT podcast. That podcast only comes out once a week, so we'll have some time to think about it, and then we'll maybe respond more thoughtfully over there on that show.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. Again, send us an email, daily@lsatdemon.com, if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.